on maynard.com.au. Hey, you!
Hi, this is David Hill, Managing Director of the ABC. Maynard, son, lift your game or you're out of here in 10 minutes.
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. No one could have dreamed we were being scrutinized as someone with a microscope studies creatures that swarm, multiply, and drop water. Few men even consider the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their bands against us. Abruptly, the sound ceased.
This is, of course, bullshit.
Well, when the festive season rolls around, there's only one guy you want to see. Oh, no, it ain't the fat guy in the red suit. It's Tim Ferguson.
Hey, I love to look at the mirror and just go, hey, it's you. Merry Christmas.
Welcome to a very bullshit Christmas.
Oh, total bullshit. If we say anything accurate, you're actually allowed to sue.
Welcome to the show. Now, normally at this time of the year, I wander around the bus stops of the suburb in which I live with Tony Push, and he's on the show later. Also coming up on the show later, we have George Harub from the Geologic Podcast, and we've even got a special, special guest, Christopher Laird from Radio Nowhere. He's going to be joining us with some of his special English Radio Nowhere Christmas music. You love England, don't you?
Oh, I love England. I love the food. I just love the sunshine when it happens for that golden day. Everybody runs outside.
And look, I reckon Christmas is extra bullshit in the Southern Hemisphere because it's hot, doesn't really make a lot of sense, it's annoying, salads aren't really something to eat on Christmas Day.
Oh, and Jesus didn't come to Australia. I mean, we have plenty of desert, just like the Middle East, but did he come here? Would have been less hassle. You know, we do like the spirit of it. We eat lobster, try to shake hands with relatives we don't like.
If you want to review some of the previous Maynard Christmas specials, I think this is the fourth A Very Whatever Christmas. There's A Very Maynard Christmas 2010, 2011 and 2012. It's been such a bullshit year. I think this is the worst year I've ever had. How's your year been, Tim?
It's been a fantastic year. I've just come off the back of it.
Yeah.
I know, just a 10-week tour around the place. You know, I stand up, I talk, people laugh at me, not with me.
I'll just play a sound effect here because it's a major moment. It's time for my Christmas joke, which I tell every year. You want to hear it, Tim?
I would love to hear a Christmas joke, Maynard.
What sound do the cows from Bethlehem make?
I don't know, Maynard. What sound do the cows from Bethlehem make?
Is that fucking hilarious?
That actually works. Interrupting Nazareth cow.
There we go. I thought I'd go with that one. I tell that every year, and you know, and like Tim is a comedy professional, and that went okay. Have you got a Christmas based joke?
I'll have to think of one. It'll have something to do with pudding. But there aren't many jokes. That's why yours took me by surprise, because I thought there really aren't any jokes to tell about Christmas. It's sort of, it's flaccid comically.
I think we should get into some Christmas crank mail.
Crank mail, crank mail, crank mail.
It's a pretty good jingle, that one.
Oh, that one is good. You must have taken seconds to put it together.
Well, we actually put out the call when I knew we were going to record this. If there's any questions or comments or conversation starters for you or me, and surprisingly, there's quite a few.
Oh, yeah. I was inundated on the Twitter sphere with all sorts of ridiculous questions. And thanks to everybody who did send those questions. One person even asked a question, which was, why would I ask you a question? Which I thought was perfectly valid.
There's that guy that always winds us up. That'd be Daryl Adams. He said, I only have one critical question. Why? He wants to know why he should ask us a question and why I'm even recording this with you. That's Daryl Adams, who used to be the fake Paul Keating, but got in trouble, had to change his name, I think.
Oh, the simple fact is, why? Why?
Look, I'll tell you, because there's a gap in the Australian broadcasting media landscape that Tim can fill and I can fill, but why not fill that hole twice as hard?
Tell you the truth about Christmas. Tell you the truth, Mr. FPK.
A tweet from, I think, Christopher Laird himself, who you'll be hearing from later in the show. He asks, is Satan really Santa or just a delightful anagram?
Well, interestingly, if you put Santa and anagram together and jumble up the letters, you end up with Santagraph-M.
That answers your question, Christopher, and there'll be something under your tree come Christmas Eve. And Bobby Skates wants to know, are you a scruncher or a folder?
It depends what mood I'm in. Most of the time...
When he's angry, you don't want to know.
Most of the time, it will be a free-for-all. It really is a mood thing.
I just had a thought then. You didn't go to a Steiner school, did you at all, Tim?
No, Steiner school. We thought Steiner was very conservative.
Communist.
Well, you had to turn up and go to school every day, and we thought that was completely outrageous.
My dad's ringing me. Hi, Dad.
I think your check arrived today.
Your dad pays you for gigs?
I actually did my last gig ever this year. I did a gig a little while ago as a DJ, and I just decided I'm not going to do any more.
And why was that?
I thought standing around watching an empty dance floor for 2.5 hours is not good.
Maybe you should stop just doing it at home. You've really got to actually go to, you know, a venue where people are turning up, may not.
Trust Ferguson to come up with the mechanic.
It's a business plan. That's a thing. I need to put a business plan. First, you get a bunch of people jumping up and down. Then you say, would you like music to jump to? And it goes from there.
Geraldine Quinn writes, could you clear up the pronunciation of Kris Kringle and then disown all the people who actually do a Kris Kringle?
Some people pronounce Kris Kringle Kris Klingle.
Really?
Well, I asked around because I didn't understand the question. So there is Kris Klingle. Obviously, the people who say Klingle are just frankly wrong. Kris Kringle is the nonsense word that we're looking for. And yes, all people who have Kris Kringle are really just employers and should be gotten rid of.
Snigs right. Is there such a thing as a good heckle at a comedy show, or are all hecklers just dicks?
The best heckle I've heard of happened to Dave Bluestein, who is a legendary Sydney comedian. He was doing a routine, I think it was in London somewhere, and someone shouted out, keep going, it's going really well. There has to be nothing worse than faint praise.
I heard you and Paul yell at Richard while he was on stage doing Edelweiss during one of your shows.
I'm sure we did. Faint praise. I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, stuffed? You say, oh, you too, mate, or stop it, you're spoiling it for everyone. There's no way out of it. The only other bad heckle is someone who's repeating themselves, which happened one night at the Lansdowne pub, which is a guy just kept saying, your jokes are stale. Your jokes are stale. And it just went on for an hour and a half. Your jokes are stale.
Two questions here from Danny. Which one do you want to go with?
I'll go with the book one because I'm selling books.
That's right. This guy's moving product. In fact, I moved a bit of product into his house here. When's your next book signing? You got one? When are you hocking it around the country again?
I'll be doing the Sydney Festival, I think, running a comedy writing course, and, you know, I'll bring a box of books with me and I will sign them. They won't be my book, but there will be books.
Yeah, he's going to sign The God Delusion.
Oh, yes. Histories of World War II by Anthony Beaver is an excellent book, and it needs a, you know, signature and a cartoon at the front.
Actually, what Anthony Beaver book would you like under your pill? I like The Battle of Berlin. Which one's your favourite?
Stalingrad is an excellent read too, but Battle of Berlin, The Downfall is my favourite.
What about D-Day? Was that an interesting read? Did he dig some stuff out that you hadn't heard of before?
He did about, well, complete screw-ups. It was a screw-up from beginning to end, and he goes into those in detail. But there were disastrous things happening from the very beginning. It was a miracle, in fact, that the Allies won D-Day at all. It was just the power of numbers.
Well, because Tim and I love a bit of military history there. One of the things I found out about D-Day is when they were doing some training for it off the coast of England, some German E-boats turned up and shot the place up and killed a lot of guys, and all of it had to be kept secret for many decades.
All of that was hushed up because it was so embarrassing. Even the families weren't informed as to, you know, what had happened to all those people. They were just told, sorry, we lost them in battle. And it wasn't really battle at all. We lost them in massacre is not a letter you want to receive.
Book question. This is from Danny. Will there ever be a tell almost all Doug Anthony All-Stars biography penned by one or all of you guys?
Paul McDermott and I have discussed the idea. We have come up with a couple of ways to go about it because a lot of the stuff we got up to was, you know, let's face it, illegal. only in a very small way.
Whenever these guys were in a hotel room together, just picture the swamp from MASH. It was like that. You had a still going in the corner. Richard was Winchester. That's exactly what it was like. He wasn't even Frank Burns. He was Winchester.
Was Winchester. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
So there's your answer to that one, I think.
This is, of course, bullshit.
SL24 writes, socks, undies and ties, are they really an appropriate Christmas gift? Is it, or was it all just gratuitous crap anyway? I'd say that falls into the bullshit category, but...
It does. Falls into the bullshit category. I mean, you take what you can get. The main thing about Christmas is just to get out of it without having to deal with too many relatives that you haven't spoken to.
Yeah.
And if socks is the way to make them go away, then you use socks.
Sharon's got one here. Sharon's got a good one. What's that funny thing called down the back of your throat?
It depends which party you've been at. It's called love.
I was going to go with the uvula. This is a bit like a thought experiment here. P. Livermore writes, could Jesus heat up a burrito so hot he himself couldn't eat it?
No way. Jesus could eat any burrito at any temperature. I think that's one of the great things. That's one of so many people thought he was tremendous. Not only did he come from somewhere good, like the Middle East, and not from Australia, but you could give him whatever and he could eat it.
Imagine if Jesus had come from Taree, for example.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you never hear about, you know, conversion on the road to Taree. Maybe on the road to Coonabarabran, everybody converts there, but not Taree.
Here's the last one I've got here. I like this one. Tim, if you could be Maynard for a day, who would you prank call? And Maynard, if you could be Tim for a day, what would you do?
I would prank call Bill Shorten. I think he'd be a great one to prank call. For starters, you know, there's not much going on in Bill's day that's going to give him much to smile about. So
he'd probably take the call.
Oh, absolutely. He'd just get straight through. The prank call would be about baby heads. The heads of dolls. Because Bill has the head of a baby. If you look at it, it's his nickname in some circles is Baby Head's doing very well today. He does have the head of a baby. So it would be something about, are you manufacturing dolls?
Then before you hung up, you'd give him a bit of career advice, which would be?
My career advice for Bill Shorten is actually keep doing what you're doing. It seems like you don't have to do much these days to lose government. And to gain government, you just stand there, really, sometimes in a pair of Speedos, and wait for the government to be eaten alive by the 24-hour news cycle.
If I was Tim for a day, I think I would just use Tim's massive ego and his massive motivation that I've witnessed all the way through his life to get some stuff done. I would leap out of bed in the morning going, I'm the good-looking Tim Ferguson, and I would do stuff because in every situation I've ever seen you, you've always done stuff. I never go, hi, Tim, what are you doing? And you go, just watching some TV, nothing. It's always like, well, I'm writing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing a film, I'm suing three people, and I'm running for president of Russia. That's normally what you get from you.
Well, it's the same thing you get from Vladimir Putin too. He's doing the same thing, except he starts with a Russia bit.
That closes the crank mail. Unless you've got some there that I've missed it all, Tim?
I would crank mail everybody. Everybody would get a letter. Everybody would get a threatening letter with letterhead. Lawyers, letterhead. McIntosh, McPhillamy and Ferguson are suing you.
I've actually changed my law firm. I've actually gone with Jedward. I reckon Jedward are a great name for a law firm. Sure, they might be Irish Eurovision pop stars, but it's a great name for a law firm.
Crank mail, crank mail, crank mail.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Go ahead.
Like a sex machine, man.
Go ahead.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Go ahead.
Can I count it on?
Go ahead, go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
What do you think is the most bullshit Christmas present you've ever got? You've opened it and you've thought, this is bullshit.
A calendar.
Calendar?
I just got a calendar
with meat cuts of Australia. What was it?
It was pictures of fjords and, you know, just hills and stuff. I was a kid. That was the thing. I was like nine. Like, I didn't know what a day was, let alone that there were seven in the week and that those formed some sort of agreed pattern. I think a calendar is just the worst up yours kind of present because a calendar has nothing in it that you can learn from.
Is there any sort of Doug Anthony Christmassy song that we can stick in here? But is there one that is specifically Christmassy?
There was no Christmassy song. There is a very nice one called Good Night, Sweet Prince from Das Kapital, where we all crowd around the baby Jesus who's, you know, in his manger, and we sing Good Night, Sweet Prince, and my flights of angels sing you to your rest. And that's a nice one.
I think there's two tempo versions in that episode. There's the slow and the fast one. Which do you see? I know my stuff. Which one do you prefer at this particular moment, Mr. Fergundon?
Well, I like the faster one.
Yeah, I like that too. But, you know, you never know. I bet you Richard likes a slow one.
Oh, I think Richard likes a slow one because he worked very hard on the harmonies. But the faster one has the whistling by Flacco that is, I mean, there's only one word for it, masterful.
Good night, sweet prince, and may flights of angels sing you to your rest. As the shadows move across the lake, dream sweet dreams until you wake. Good night, sweet prince, and may flights of angels sing you to your rest. As the shadows move across the lake, dream sweet dreams until you wake. Dream sweet dreams until you wake.
And that slide whistle from Flacco in that track reminded me of our good friend John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry, of course, who do the No Agenda show.
Dvorak.org/NA.
They deal with bullshit on every episode. They talk it through. They break down everything. They expand things. They contract things. And they decide that really the world is
bullshit.
So I think I might actually play this from John C. Dvorak. John said that this was his favourite Christmas song.
Disco Christmas in Hamsterland. Boogie, 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 boogie. Disco Hamsterland.
Christmas meal and mistletoe hanging on the hamster wheel.
Boogie, 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 disco hamster.
Well, some interesting choice there from John C. Dvorak, Tim.
Very good, John. I mean, very talented man.
You're listening to A Very Bullshit Christmas because it has been a very bullshit year. We are putting a few songs in this. Some have nothing to do with Christmas, some do. Do you like to go anywhere at Christmas, Tim, or do you like to stay put and let other people rush around as you listen to the sound of the economy overheating?
Oh, Maynard, I have always travelled at Christmas and I've always wanted just to sit down, watch Christmas telly, watch Elf and get quietly drunk, make sweet love and pass out. This year I promised to myself and my dear love that's what's going to happen.
You're literally setting yourself up for a fall there, Tim.
I know.
It's been such a crap year on every single level. I think staying at home, what can possibly go wrong? So that's what I'm going to be doing. And I think Rick Moranis had the same idea. He put an album out this year called My Mother's Brisket and Other Love Songs, but from an earlier album of his called The Agoraphobic Cowboy.
I never go nowhere, man, I never go nowhere. Traffic's bad out there, man, I'm saving wear and tear. I like conditioned air, man, I never go nowhere. I go upstairs, downstairs, backyard, lawn chairs, living room, bathroom, bedroom, furnace room, hot tub, cedar deck, builder, fire, washer, dryer, pantry, patio, barter, aroma, video, cold cellar, rec room, ping pong, mahjong, beer count, wear, then speed dial, order in. I ain't going nowhere, man, I ain't going nowhere. It's dangerous out there, man, might have been a big bomb scare. Hard to get off of this easy chair, I ain't going nowhere. I go online, DSL, Amazon, buy and sell, eBay, layaway, last bid, noon today, plasma, Judy, Judge, broadband, Matt, Drudge, J.Crew, BNN.com, CNN, JPEG, email, pop-up, Gmail, shower cam, filter, spam, slam, bam, I think it's spam. I ain't going nowhere, man, never gonna go nowhere. It's a bungled jungle out there, man, some kid got mauled by a bear. Surround sound in my own lair, I ain't going nowhere. I got perimeter motion, doggy door, mail call, people, Avon.
wireless strobes on pin code, keypad, relay, pepper spray, home base, interface, three zone, plug and play, infrared, photocell, squad car, decibel, choppers up, sonic boom, activate the panic room. Zantac, Lipitor, Dizepam, Nexium, Prevacid, Percocet, Levitra, Leviquin, Elavil, Fosamax, Plavix, Keflex, Next Day, FedEx, Zithromax, Avalox, Flexeril, Topamax, Prozac, Ativan, Adderall, I take them all. I ain't going nowhere, man, never gonna go nowhere. I'm cutting my own hair, man, nothing I need out there. Outside sunny, but inside share, I ain't going nowhere.
Rick Moranis there. I love the verse, it's all about the drugs he's on. That's great. He starts off with Ritalin and ends up with Pecodin.
Gee, it's hard to swallow when you're lying down.
Actually, you are a huge fan of the Shatman, aren't you?
I think comedy saved William Shatner's career.
Or was it more irony?
The generating of laughter in people is a really good second step for actors nearing their 60s. To prove that they can be funny, all of a sudden a whole new generation.
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen. Look what happened to him. He was playing cops and then no one needed him anymore, so he went and played funny cops.
And as he would have been directed, he was directing it as if what he was doing was the most serious thing in the world, and that's what made it funny.
It didn't work for Linda Blair in their film Repossessed. Well, she played, is it Linda Blair?
Yes, that's her, yeah.
Yeah, she played the little girl in The Exorcist and made a parody of that film with Leslie Nielsen, and I think the film's funny, but it didn't do everything for her. Maybe now, if she did it, it might work.
And I think towards the end of that film, Leslie Nielsen reprises one of his lines from Flying High. When they're doing the dispossession at the end, he opens the door and says, I just want you to know that we are behind you 100%, and shuts the door, and you go, hang on, that's a line from Flying High.
Yeah, there's a guy who is parodying himself.
Which is also the same thing that Bob Carr actually said to the Labor Party of New South Wales as he was leaving office.
It's Wendy Harmer here for Maynard's program. Oh, put it away, Maynard. We've all seen it before.
Now, Tim, is there something you want for Christmas? Now's your chance to hint for something you want. Is there something you want to see under your tree on Christmas Day?
I've been asked this, and, you know, the trouble is I've got everything I want. In fact, I have too much of what I want.
Yeah, so, your flat's full of crap.
Oh, yeah.
Look, what's a bloody cardboard TIE fighter over there with a propeller on the front?
And it works. If someone wants to give me a removalist van, that would be very handy.
I've actually got everything assembled from my archive, stuff that I haven't looked at since I got the sack from Triple J back in the day, and I'm looking at it and going, what?
Hello, darling. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and there's only one thing more horrible, more frightening, more ugly than watching my television show, and that's being here with Maynard on Triple J across America. Ah, America! Damn, wrong country.
It's a double-edged sword because you go, wow, that's great. And you go, ooh, that's old. Oh, wow, that's great. Ooh, that's old.
Yeah, but, you know, old, what does that mean? I mean, if it was owned by Alexander the Great, you might say that it was old, but he was 15. You know, it's all contradictory. Oh, yes, hang on.
That's Tim just playing the banjo there.
This is, of course, bullshit.
Wishing you a very Shatner Christmas as well, Tim.
Oh, thank you. I will have a bull Shatner Christmas.
Ponder the Mystery is a track where William Shatner wrote some poetry, and famous people from bands like Yes and other prog rock groups did the backing for it. And the track Ponder the Mystery has him referring to the stiff neck of arrogance, the futility of youth, the youth of futility. A lot of reversals going on there. Well, what do you think of the level of William Shatner's poetry writing?
Like William, I often ponder things I've never even heard of.
And see what you think as we ponder the mystery of William Shatner. By the way, best name for a band ever. There used to be an Adelaide band called William Shatner's Pants. Now I believe there's a Perth band called William Shatner's Pants.
Oh, yeah, now I get it. Yes, that's technically funny.
The stiff neck of arrogance and the bent bow of humility. Peace in the world and the war of anxiety. Pondering the mystery. There's the moon, there's the stars, and the darkness of the sea. hate depravity. Death's finality and life's absurdity. A child's love and man's cruelty.
That's Shatner. Even when he's not doing comedy, he's doing comedy.
He is a legend.
Now, Tim, you just took a call then. You just took a comedy booking, and I want to reveal on A Very Bullshit Christmas.
The 5th and 6th of March 2014, the Doug Anthony All-Stars and Paul Livingston, a.k.a. Flacco, playing the role of Richard, will be performing at the Canberra Comedy Festival.
Going back to your roots.
Going back to our roots, some of whom have left town.
People expect kind of what they saw at the Melbourne Comedy Festival in 2013?
Yeah, it'll be much like that. A lot of name-calling, a lot of I know you are, but what am I?
And McDermott will be turning up, because he has to, contractually. Is that normally a problem?
And it's always a problem. Paul always brings his problems with him, because he's a very quiet person, Paul, so while you never hear about the problems, you know that there's something going on. Richard Feidler will be kept in Brisbane for these performances where he can do no harm. The role of Richard will be played by Paul Livingston, who people know and love.
I was reminded of a gig you did at Denmore Theatre in the 80s, that is the Doug Anthony All-Stars, where you got a steel garbage can from backstage, put it on a girl's head in the audience, and then bashed it repeatedly with a cricket bat until she cried and left. Will you be doing that in Canberra?
Yes.
With the same girl, I believe.
With the same girl, who is now, of course, a broken woman.
She's on her third marriage. It's all because of you. If you did that now, there'd be like a social media pillory of you guys.
People say that, and I think it's true because, as you say, the Twitterverse and the Facebookverse allows people to take a photograph of said event with their telephone, tweet it, send it to the police immediately. And I'm very sorry. I know I'm laughing, but I'm very sorry if that young woman was upset. But she deserved.
Someone else who is unapologetic about this next song is Clarence Carter, Backdoor Santa. Now, of course, he is also responsible for that other feminist classic, Stroke It.
Ah, yes. You'll find the lyrics, I think, in Andrea Dworkin's polemic.
And the beat goes on.
Santa, I make my runs about the break of day. They call me Backdoor Santa, I make my runs about the break of day. Oh, oh, oh. I make all the little girls happy while the boys are out to play. Look at him. Some change in my pocket, chase the children at home. I give them a few pennies so that we can be alone. I leave the back door open so if anybody smells a mouse, and with no sound I'll be in trouble if ain't no chimney in the house. They call me Backdoor Santa, I make my runs about the break of day. Look at here.
Welcome back to a very bullshit Christmas, and I'm here with Mr. Tony Push. Hi, Tony.
When push comes to shove.
What's going on?
Hi there, Maynard. And doesn't Christmas tend to hang around with a sort of regular dexterity?
If you listen to the 2012 Very Maynard Christmas, Tony has this thing about Christmas time. Would you like to try and explain that again, how Christmas time is different to other times?
Yeah, I will actually, because I think at this time of the year, there is more expansion and also contraction of time than at other times of the year.
So it's like a relativity thing. It's like you're the Stephen Hawking of the festive season with as far as this relative time thing goes.
Who is he? How dare he come here and spoil our nice party?
This time last year, we were wandering around the neighbourhood at bus stops, but we can't because of the inclement weather and temperature. It's just not summer here in Australia yet, is it?
It's just not Christmas seasonal weather.
I mean, it probably has changed because I'm recording multiple bits for this very bullshit Christmas. What do you think has been the most bullcrap thing about 2013, Tony Push?
2013 has lived up to its evil number. Bad luck aplenty, misunderstandings, yet again breaches in etiquette left, right and centre. We've had a change of government. Who cares? They all seem sort of the same now. Oh, there was election time. And talk about Christmas time expanding and contracting. Let's talk about election time expanding and contracting.
That went on for a long time. It was like approaching the black hole and time just kept getting longer and longer.
It was like looking at a slow-motion bullet heading towards Labor, wasn't it?
But we're actually in the Maynard Studios, aren't we?
Yeah.
Can you describe what you see in front for the listener?
Parquetry flooring. It's a dense sort of collection of wood that's meant to sort of stop that sort of echo. You know what I'm saying? That.
Look, and there's a few Mad Club props there over over in the corner there. And if you don't know what the Mad Club is, look up the Mad Club special. Now, we've now moved into the kitchen now, as you'll know, and the ambiance has changed. I'd like you to pick a track from something I discovered this year. As you know, I'm going through my archives, and from the 22nd of August 1979 comes the first gig I ever did with Vince Johnson and the Rubber Mangos, which was a four-piece brass group. We did the Junction School Dance. Boy, were those kids ripped off. Imagine turning up for your school dance and there's a four-piece brass band there.
Sure, but I bet you could really sort of send them on a bit of a slide. You can't see this on radio, I'm so glad, but it's a BASF tape.
Hang on, no, sorry. It's a similar logo. It's actually an Agfa tape.
Agfa?
Beautiful burnt orange, 1979. This was recorded with a condenser mic on one of those like cheapo cassette decks. And we wowed the kids that night with such a swing. Oh, kids, you know, kids love to dance to stuff like the theme from Hogan's Heroes, Lady Madonna, Rocky. Almost no one knows. But I want you to pick one, and we'll play a bit now, Tony. So have a look at the list there and pick one. You're doing the theme from Van der Vark, which we didn't do.
Oh, Tijuana Taxi, always a huge favourite, particularly at the end of the night.
Okay, so we'll put on your Mexican hat and get down to this. Tony, to sum up your year, what's a song from 2013 that has meant the most? When push comes to shove, what is the track of the year for you?
And
has been a downer year. Just all the things I predicted last year was the worst year I've ever had. This year's been even worse.
Well, every downer has a peak. And mine would certainly be making the most of a bad situation, walking through a totally wrecked a totally wrecked year, doing so like I was Prince. In fact, bigger than Prince.
Walk around like you're bigger than Prince. Walk around like you're bigger than Prince. Walk around like you're bigger than Prince. Walk around like you're bigger than Prince. Don't listen to what people say when what they say is crazy. In God we trust. Just walk around like you're bigger than Prince. Walk around like you're bigger than Prince. Walk around like you're bigger than Prince. Walk around like you're bigger than Prince.
podcasts. And Tony Push, you are quite the listener to the Planet Maynard, Maynard's Malaise podcast.
I proffer an ear now and again.
You've heard a lot more of the stuff that I've done all throughout this year, and of all the stuff that I've got up to, all the mucking around, all the microphone being put in people's face action that's been going on this year. What's been your favourite?
I like the enthusiasm that the Wet Zombies showed, and there is nothing more wetter than a gooey zombie. Their enthusiasm was mirrored by your own gusto for the moment as well. So it was the Wet Zombie March interview.
Water does not deter the undead. The people came from Sydney for it. They were so excited. Just get a load of this. There's a zombie up, zombie down, zombie right out of town because the heavens have been opening on our zombies here today. And, of course, Ella Reid organising the whole thing. How'd it go?
Considering the weather, really well. And it sort of adds to the theatrics of it.
What have we got going on there?
Zombie pin-up. None.
A zombie none. That is great. Please describe to the radio audience what's going on with your face.
I have half a baseball attached to my head.
Yeah. A bizarre baseball incident.
Yes.
Zombie nurse?
Zombie nurse.
With the zombie nurse cardigan. You don't normally see the zombie nurse in the cardigan. That's attention to detail. For the Zombie March 2013, although it has been raining, has there been any overall trend? We talked about people getting rid of their old costumes, like their old clown costume perhaps, old school uniform, or their old ballet costume. To me, I think there's a few dance outfits here.
Yeah, I've seen a few dances. There's also been sailors and nurses. That's right. Been a pretty big thing this year as well. The winner was Ultimatum this year.
The musical.
The musical, the zombie musical, yeah.
When people first see them singing, they go, oh, what? And they very quickly get into it, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very quick transition.
Does this see we've got more zombie musicals coming in our future?
I hope so. I hope to start a trend with that, yes.
Boy, you've got a choice to make. You can either change for me or we're gonna have to break. Just change for me.
Die for us.
Change for me.
Die for us.
I told you once, I told you twice, and why can't you see? You're gonna have to die or change for me.
Hello, darling. Hello, darling.
Welcome now from the other side of the world, from Radio Nowhere. It's Radio Nowhere's Christopher Laird.
Hello. Good evening. Good afternoon. I don't know. What is it? Afternoon?
Two sleepy people here. It's the end of the day for me. It's almost 6 o'clock p.m. here. And, of course, for you, it's at 6 o'clock a.m. roughly. Thank you for getting out of bed, because I know you leave the wild playboy lifestyle of someone who works at Radio Nowhere.
It's a swinging cat house in here, let me tell you.
How has the swinging year of 2013 been for Radio Nowhere?
It's kind of an up and down year for a non-profit organization like us. We rely heavily on donations. So with the worldwide economic downturn that we've been experiencing the last few years, it's a miracle we're still on air. So we're very grateful to still be here.
Give the gift of some money to Radio Nowhere. I get a lot of my new music from them. I love listening to the range of stuff you guys have. And this is basically a Christmas plug for you guys, because I think you guys deserve a bit more recognition.
That means a lot. So thank you very much for that, Maynard.
And you've actually shown some interest in some Australian bands this year. Boys, boys, boys from Perth, and Simone and Girlfunkel, a little bit up your street.
Just came across them by accident, and boys, 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 they're just mad. They're just nuts.
I'm here forever, baby.
My wife, her aunt, used to live in Perth. It's kind of nice to have a connection to the great city of Perth.
They remind me a little bit of that 90s band called Biz.
Yes, it kind of maybe a 21st century way. I see what you mean, yes.
Christmas bullshit, Christopher Laird? Yes or no?
Here at RNHQ, we really don't do Christmas anymore. The commercialism of it has got a bit too much. Last night, I tried to do a Christmas show the way I think Christmas shows should be again. So that should be available on our website at radionowhere.org very soon.
What's the gift that you've got it and you're going, oh, this is just bullshit, Christopher?
I can't honestly think of a really crap Christmas present, but I can tell you about the worst birthday present I ever got.
Oh,
it was a Simpsons bath plug and a scratch card, a 10-pound scratch card. So here it was, a Simpsons bath plug. And I just kind of looked at this thing, and I'm like, we knew each other for quite a long time, and I just thought, do you just not want to be my friend anymore? Is this some sort of secret code? Like, it wasn't a 10-pound scratch card, rather. It was a $1 or 1-pound scratch.
A really lame one.
So, but at least, like I said, I won 10 pounds on it, so I guess there was a lining in that bathtub.
What do you think is the nice little complete album that's good to play at Christmas time?
There was a series that was released about 15 years ago on Capitol Records as Ultra Lounge.
Ah.
And they did some Christmas volumes. I think they're up to volume 4. I don't think you can get them on CD anymore. And They're absolutely beautiful.
The Jingle Bells Cha-Cha is one of my favorites from it.
Yeah, I think that's Billy May, isn't it?
I think it is.
Jingle bells, jing, jing, cha-cha-cha, jingle all the way. Love the rhythm of Christmas time down South America way.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And there's another one, if you can get a hold of it, it's quite an oddity. It's one of my favorites. It's called The Merriest of Christmas Pops, and it was released on RCA. I think it was in the late 50s, and it has Juan Garcia Esquivel on it. It's absolutely amazing.
Wow. And what's he doing?
I think he's dead.
What was he doing?
Sorry.
Before he ceased to be alive, what did he do on that album?
It's about 7 in the morning.
It is early, and it's a wild, crazy night. If you could imagine Hugh Hefner and that underground grotto, that's what it's like 24-7 in the camp of Laird.
Yeah, that's why we're almost broke here. We're just going crazy here.
He hasn't got a big radio station behind him. He doesn't mange off the ABC like I do here in Australia. He actually has to pay some bills.
It's an uphill fight, but we endeavor to get to the top of that hill, just like Kate Bush did.
What are you hoping for next year? You got any big projects planned?
Well, we're going to carry on with the Vinyl Dungeon. We're hoping to talk to one of my all-time favorite bands who are reuniting in London for a one-off gig. The Darling Buds, were they popular in Australia in the late 80s, early 90s?
Yes, I used to play them on Triple J when I started there. It was Crash the single, or I'm getting it mixed up with someone else?
You're thinking of the Primitives. They're the same era.
Here you go, way too fast. Go slow down, you're gonna crash. You should watch what you're staying.
A big single around about the time.
Actually, one of my favorites was Let's Go Round There.
That's it. That's the one.
They're doing a one-off show in April in London. Fingers crossed I'll be able to do a Vinyl Dungeon special.
Let's just talk to people about this Vinyl Dungeon too, because this is something you've been doing for a while, because you're doing a show that's vinyl only all the time, every time.
We had the Vinyl Dungeon sister station, but it was just becoming too expensive to run two separate stations. I wanted to go back to my first love of vinyl, and I'm able to incorporate new vinyl with the oddities of charity shops, thrift shops, secondhand shops. It's been fun. It makes a great mix of music, I think.
Look, and a lot of bands in the UK, in indie bands and across Europe, still release on vinyl.
It's been amazing. We've had some great support from indie labels who've been very kind and donated their vinyl to us. We're hoping to keep doing that into 2014.
But the thing is, it's also for the listeners. The listeners can request stuff. The listeners can send in their stuff to you if you did possibly play. You know, it is a community.
That's right. We're very open to all that. All the presenters on Radio Nowhere keep in touch with all of the listeners as best and as much as possible.
Thank you for joining me here on a very bullshit Christmas. You're a very, very positive, nice, lovely English man to do this. I'm sorry to put you on a show that has the word bullshit in its title.
But quite okay.
What would you like to go out with the wide range of possible Christmas bull or not bullshit tunes? What do you want to go with, Mr. Christopher Laird of Radio Nowhere?
We'll go back to Esquivel. We'll go to the Merriest of Christmas Pops. And if you can get a hold of it, their version or his version with the Skipjacks of Here Comes Santa Claus is an absolute Christmas favorite.
Have a very, very merry bullshit Christmas from all of us here at Radio Nowhere. I'm Christopher Laird.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeer are pulling on the rain. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stocking and say your prayers, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
come Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, for he loves you just the same. Santa knows that we're God's children, that makes everything right. Fill your hearts with a Christmas cheer, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when the chimes ring out, it's Christmas morning.
This is, of course, bullshit.
Ladies and gentlemen, from his den of donuts, his den of mustard, his den of whatever you want to put inside your filling, it's George Harab.
Oh, no mustard. Oh, my goodness, no. Mustard is my kryptonite, which I probably shouldn't even say that. Oh, I can't be in a room with it.
It's been a big 2013 for George Harab, and I'd like to welcome you to a very bullshit Christmas.
Oh, my honor. My bells are jingling. That's all I can say.
We've had some people on this very show, this bullshit Christmas special, that they're down with the bullshit. They like Christmas, but for George Harab, Christmas is his favorite time of year, isn't it, George?
It is. Well, living in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, of all places, that is kind of the rule. I sort of have to enjoy it. And I actually do. If you remove the religious stuff, the fact that people almost sort of by rote are nicer to each other just because everyone sort of does it, it almost restores your hope in humanity for just a mere, 4 or 5 weeks or so. And then it dissolves into the sort of winter doldrums of January. There's a certain niceness that pervades throughout because people think that Santa is directly watching.
Will you be doing the Bethlehem Inn joke? You've spoken about this for years. You've gone, okay, there's a Bethlehem Inn in the city where I live. Will you be going in there and doing the thing you've always wanted to do?
I've always wanted to go and complain. One of these years, I will do it, and I'll film it.
With a very puzzled clerk when you go in and demand a room and then make a big fuss because you can't get one.
Yes. I have to rent a donkey as well. I think that'll be part of the thing.
No. A pantomime donkey.
Oh, even better. Yes.
We have had you on the show during the year, and we had a very popular piece, which was the Cage Match Throwdown.
Oh, yes.
Sudden Death Cage Match Throwdown, where I've got a musical challenge for you. It's a bit unannounced here, but I'll ever think about it there. What do you reckon is the best bass solo bit you've heard? I'm going to throw down as my bit the introduction to Boogie Nights by Heatwave. Heatwave, who I may add, won Grammy for Best New Artist that year.
An excellent choice. Bass solo. My goodness. Now I would have to show my Prague 80s child roots, and I wouldn't do it proud unless I recognized within the song YYZ by the Canadian trio Rush. There are a number of bass breakdowns that happen that are amongst some of the most rhythmically and melodically interesting, I think, within the canon of bass solo. They're proggy, they're funky.
It's a cage match throwdown because that's disco versus prog rock we've done.
That's collars versus kimonos. It's going to be exciting.
Because everything's about Heatwave, Boogie Nights. That actually intro, that's actually, they were doing their tuning or playing around with their guitar, and they actually added that to the intro at a later date. So that actually wasn't originally supposed to be the intro to that song.
That's neat. Yeah, there's so many examples of that kind of stuff, of like little just sort of mistakes or little things that are kept in or just...
George, I'd like to play something from you that's a touch Christmassy. What would you think is on your latest CD, DVD extravaganza? that is a bit Christmassy.
There's a sort of an unreleased track that I have, which is a direct Christmas song, which is called I Don't Believe in Christmas. And that sort of encapsulates my not being one who believes in the reason for the season, but believes in the result of the season. That's what that song is about.
So does that make you more of a pagan?
I guess so, yeah. Sort of a pagan-ish. Yes.
And by the way, I'm just calling it bullshit because I've just had the worst year, George. It's not been a great year for me, so I'm just kind of over everything. I want 2014 to get going so that next year can be the worst year I ever have.
Oh, there you go. It's good to aim high.
What do you think is the most bullshit Christmas gift you've ever got? Like, you got it and you thought, oh, this is bullshit.
I was re-gifted a book once. It was a publisher's copy for review. I had a relative that worked at a magazine. And this relative obviously got this book in sort of a press kit. And the relative took the book and put wrapping paper on it and gave it to me. The relative didn't check to see whether inside it said something like not for distribution or do not hand out to non-magazine personnel, whereas that was stamped right across like the second page. So that was a pretty bullshit press present.
And it wasn't even like a book you liked, probably, either.
It had the word music in the title, so this relative assumed that I'd be... It was some horrible, like, you know, the music of...
The music of tuna.
That's it. Yeah, I think that was it. The music of re-gifting.
What do you think is the way we can get through Christmas and survive for those of us that find it a trying period, a difficult period? And it is a period of the year where suicides go up, depression deepens.
I think you have a very good attitude looking towards the new year, a new beginning where the odometer can reset itself. That's a good way to kind of look at it. It is psychologically proven that if you give gifts, not get gifts, give gifts, you will feel better about the universe.
And you're going to be in Australia in November 2014.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Talk about giving. I can't wait to see everyone again and to revisit. You know, there's something about that second visit. You know, you go to a place for the first time and it's exciting. You're there for the first time. And then there's something even more exciting about going back and to see the opera house again or to walk down that street or to find that same coffee shop or record store that you were in. That's almost even more exciting than the first time.
Can we hint at you doing an Australian tour to coincide with your appearance in Sydney in November?
You can hint all you'd like. I'm hoping something will build out.
Thank you for joining us here on A Very Bullshit Christmas.
Make the best of it. This is George Robb wishing you a very bullshit Christmas.
Every time this time of year, I weigh the way we spread good cheer and wonder if it matters one bit why we're nicer. My advice, sir, enjoy what the day brings despite stories of kings. Relish the things that you give and are given. Every time this time of year, I explain in ways plain and clear. To my relief, I have no belief in the reason for the season, but I'm one who defends if these means to these ends result in smiling friends who once were strangers. Where's the danger? I don't believe in Christmas. But I love it anyway. Every time this time of year, I voice a voice some don't hold dear and proudly shout despite my doubt season's greetings at family meetings. And I still can enjoy, like when I was a boy, unwrapping every toy that I get and each one I'm giving. This is living. I don't believe. Christmas. But I love it anyway. The best of intentions never equal the gifts that you got. With a season so perfect, I'll forgive that its reason is not. Every time, this time of year, I love the love both far and near, and wonder if it matters one bit why we're nicer. Please be nicer. Just be nicer.
We're going to finish off with a Christmas classic. A few seconds now of Booker T and the MGs doing Jingle Bells.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, I want to thank all the guests I've had on the show. Here, of course, George Harab with his beautiful Christmas song there. He's going to be enjoying his Christmas in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where the cows go, meh. Because I've got that in. It's called a callback, isn't it, Tim, when you say that?
That is. It's called a callback.
Christopher Laird from Radio Nowhere, if you can possibly see a way to donate some money to keep Radio Nowhere on the air and keep the Vinyl Dungeon spitting out the stuff all through 2014, that'd be great. And Tony Push, just give him a wave, you know. And, of course, all of those people, George Harab, Christopher Laird, and Tony Push, I think it's Moxie he is on Twitter. On the Twitter now, what are you on the Twitter, Tim?
I am at with Tim Ferguson.
And I thought I'd finish with that most Christmassy of all songs, My Boyfriend's Learning Karate by the Head Coaties.
It's always encouraging, and you also sleep better at night knowing that you're going out with a green belt.
And I just want to wish everyone listening a merry 2014. I know that my 2014 is probably going to be worse even than 2013, but at least I'm ready for it this year. And I want to wish everyone out there a very bullshit Christmas. I'll leave the last word to you, Tim Ferguson.
Bullshit.
This is, of course, bullshit.
So just imagine the credits rolling now. Tim and Maynard will return in Bunga Bunga.
Death by Bunga Bunga.
On maynard.com.au. Hey, you!